Hello, you beautiful humans, and welcome to episode 164 of the Nerdcast from Project Nerd.
Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain, and you are listening to the Nerdcast. But what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
I'm Tyler. I'm joined by Iggy. Hey, buddy.
What's up, man? I just realized, like, 164 is a lot of episodes.
And Adam is also here. Hi, Adam.
Hello. Yeah, I mean, you know, we count it literally every week, Iggy. And it only goes up by one, so it was a lot of episodes last week, too.
And when he says every week, he means, you know...
Well, every week.
Every time we record.
Yeah. Every-ish week. And Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how's it going?
Do you also have feelings about the number 164 and its largeness?
I'm just impressed with any number above 100.
All right. Fair enough. What are we doing today, guys?
So he's impressed 64 times over. We're talking Colorado Springs Comic Con. That's what we're doing today. When this episode airs, well, half of us on the show will be on the floor, hanging out, chilling with our friends.
The cool half will be there.
The cool half. I don't know if I'd lump myself in with the cool half on this show. If I'm going to be dead honest about it, I don't know.
I don't know if I'd lump you into that half either.
There you go. So, glad Tyler had no comment for that. But yeah, at least half of us will be there. And it's Colorado Springs Comic Con. Very slow convention year for Project Nerd, but nonetheless, I believe this is our fourth show to be at for the year. And it's exciting because we have a lot to do. So if you aren't in Colorado Springs Comic Con, you can follow us. Project Nerd Blog is our Facebook one. So / Project Nerd Blog, or if you type in Project Nerd, we'll show up. Instagram, project.nerd, because the hyphen doesn't work on Instagram names. Check out both of those. Follow them all weekend long. We'll have our stories updated. We'll be doing live feeds with celebrities, panel moderating, pictures, everything going up there. And of course, all of our great coverage that we always have over on projectnerd.com. And we'll probably talk about it again next week. But I'm excited. As we brought it up last week, Bob's excited because after 162 episodes, the rest of us finally learned that Bob is from Colorado Springs and is returning home. And it was definitely a shock for us all last week if you didn't listen.
I'm really surprised you guys were shocked. I mean, it's I'm just going back to Colorado Springs. I mean, it's nothing big. It's for me, but going to this con, it's going to be fun. Because Colorado Springs Comic Con just started just a few years ago. And it was really small. And then they moved to a venue on Palmer Park Boulevard, if any of you know Colorado Springs. And it was a bigger venue than what it was before. And now they're going to be at Chapel Hills Mall, and it is a two-story convention hall that they're using, and it is pretty enormous.
It is. They've grown each year into a new center. And all those addresses, as Bob pointed out, especially for that 10% of our listener base out of Brazil, I'm sure very familiar with where all that's at. But
Brazil.
But it is much bigger each year, and we're excited. And one of my favorite things about this is year three, and each year it falls on the weekend right before my birthday. So it is my birthday convention, meaning if you are going to be in Colorado Springs, gifts are welcome.
Or stay off the roads.
That too. But I won't be driving, obviously. We don't like drinking and driving, Bob. No. Nothing's going to be happening. I won't be drinking either, obviously, because I don't do that stuff. I'm a good kid. But
I'm
anyway.
Feeling I'm the designated driver, probably.
Anyways, it's all right in that area, so hopefully we don't have to do too much driving. But two-story convention center, Chapel Hills Convention Center. It's attached to a mall, too, so... The coolest thing about that is I think one of the hardest things to do when you're going to a convention is finding food.
Mm-hmm.
You got a food court. So No crazy outrageous prices just right there in the convention center. You just head on out to that food court, find yourself some good dining, and kind of mosey back on into the show.
When's the last time you bought food at a mall, buddy?
It's been a long. What's the, like, how regularly do you go to a mall now?
I mean, not very often. Well, I remember food court prices being not. Yeah, I mean,
not cheap.
Not convention.
Yeah, but they're not. They're not $14 hamburger that was cooked yesterday. Like conventions.
I mean, it's not. They're not much better. Not far off. I mean, you know that like the staple of all of them is like a Sbarro, right?
Well, I know there's a Steak and Shake there. I know there's a place that has Euros.
First of all, Sbarro, thank you. I'll deal with that over Convention Center pizza. But second of all, my favorite was always going to one of those Chinese food places that weren't run by Chinese food people. Like my favorite would be in Texas. It was the Chinese food places ran by Mexican people. So they would just pour the food on there and you just get insane amounts of bourbon chicken and rice, potatoes, all that fun stuff.
I the only part of that I'm going to take issue with is the fact that you referred to Chinese people as Chinese food people.
Did I say it that way?
You said, I like going to getting Chinese food from those places not run by Chinese food people.
I did. I just clearly I need to edit that. But second of all,
he's really excited about the Chinese food.
It's the food. It always goes back to food with me. I saw somebody on Facebook share like a meme thing and it like gave six items that says share if you're any one of these six things and your friends won't know what it is. Like really dumb and all that. And only one of the six things was related to food. And I'm like, I bet if I shared that, everybody would know why I shared it because it's always going to go back to food with me. So I don't know. We'll see. Bob and I will experiment on the food court food to see one, if it is more fairly priced than typical convention center food, and two, if it is better tasting than typical convention center food. That will be one of our many, many missions this weekend.
That is literally like the lowest bar ever set.
I'm bringing my GoPro, so we're going to actually videotape food at the food court.
I mean,
that's going to be,
yeah, I don't know. I wasn't going to go there. I wasn't going to say that's like of all of the exciting content Project Nerd's bringing you from Colorado Springs Comic Con. Don't miss our food court videos. It's going to be exciting. But awesome is the panel room we're directly involved with. There might be some food in there, but there's no food court in there at least. And some of the panels we're running are both the voice acting ones. I'm really excited to be moderating. Tyler, you'll like this one. Batman and Bender walk into a panel room. So,
cool.
Some Kevin Conroy and John DiMaggio. We also have Colossus versus the Hulk. So a nice one there. From the Shire to Colorado Springs Comic Con with Pippin. So I'll be running that panel, yeah.
Oh, that'd be good. Billy Boyd.
Yep, Billy Boyd is there as a guest. And then one that I'm really excited for is our... they have like five or six different comic creators that have worked on Green Lantern. So they're putting them all on one awesome Green Lantern comics panel. And I will be moderating that one as a large Green Lantern fan. I'm not that large. I'm an average sized person, but as a big Green Lantern fan would probably be more appropriate there. My words are not working really well this week. So anyways, with that, I will let you guys say, we always just kind of go down memory lane with conventions. So I know two of you aren't going to be there, unfortunately. I don't know what is, we've all done panels or been in panels. What are some of the favorite panels you guys have done over the years?
That's kind of a big question to just drop on people.
Every time we do a convention episode, I ask the big question up front and either Tyler or Adam goes, "Ooh, that's a big question," after a moment of silence. But I mean, you guys,
I only do the panels with you guys. Nobody ever invites me to do my own panel.
Well, we will, the next convention we do, I will talk to Matt right now for next year's Comic-Con and we will have a panel named All About Bob and just there let Bob sit up there and handle it.
What about Bob? I mean, come on, stupid. Cheesy.
God,
you invited this one. Guy.
God, that was
fair. Awesome. Fair. So no answers. We're just not going to go. The question's too big.
I mean,
we got to crap on you a little first.
We've done a lot of panels over the years, like a lot of panels. I've done a lot of really cool. I feel like you have to narrow it down. Like I've done some cool ones with like comic creators. We've done cool ones with.
So what's the coolest, Tyler? Since you do a lot of the other, it's usually us two doing the celebrity guest ones.
He's working his way towards one in particular. I know.
Yeah, it's the easiest. I mean, it's always
that's why I'm kind of just rolling out the carpet for you. What is your favorite celebrity hosted panel you've done, Tyler?
I have hosted a couple different panels that featured together Billy West and Maurice LaMarche, and they were a thing of beauty and glory. voice actors are, for one, the easiest panels to moderate because you don't have to do anything. You literally just get them up on stage, get them started, and they'll just go. Like, especially if you get more than one at a time. If you only have one, sometimes you got to prod them and get a little out of them. But if you get two, specifically people like, you know, Maurice LaMarche and Billy West, who are, you know, titans of voice acting, like, just get them on stage and get them chit-chatting. Billy West especially will go on forever. Rob Paulsen's very similar to that. He can go on for days and days. But yeah, Billy West and Maurice LaMarche is definitely probably the coolest panel I've ever done. And probably, that's a lie. I was going to say the biggest one as far as like attendance. That is untrue, because I did do Mick Foley, Mankind one time, and that was by far the most filled room I've ever been in for people. Wrestling fans in general come out strong for the guys they love, and Mick Foley is one of those guys that, and he is also easy to moderate because he is quite the raconteur. Just let him get started, and no matter how much research I could do, I can't ask as detailed question as someone who's been a dedicated wrestling fan for years. The questions they pull out are mind-blowing, and then his ability to just answer them and recall like this one match on a Tuesday night 17 years ago is also pretty fantastic. And there's always a crazy cool story to go along with it.
Yeah, I'd say celebrity-wise, Ray Park, it was a packed room. And it was very similar to what you said. Like, Ray Park does this like at least once or twice a month. So he's got it down. And it's the point where it's like, I introduced him, and now I just point at people to it. So take the microphone to that person. But I do also remember a very special panel Adam and I did, and Mr. John Holloway from Worst Comic Podcast Ever moderated. And it was exciting for sure. It had a very interesting taquito mac and cheese reference, which led to the signing of a mac and cheese box for some fans of ours that commonly listen to this episode. So if y'all are still listeners, shout out to you all in Kansas City there for that mac and cheese box. I hope you guys still have it.
So you still like the one memorable thing that I had.
I pulled you in.
I mean, you did, too much detail. I mean, that was pretty much the whole thing. We talked about taquitos and then signed a mac and cheese box. I mean, that's kind of right where that's the play-by-play of exactly what happened.
Fair. I don't know. And then we always do, of course, we don't always do, but we've done it many of times, the podcast episode where we get up there, and Bob, Tyler, and myself were up there for O Comic Con this past summer, and I felt we had a really fun episode where Tyler did his whole puffing of the chest arrogance thing where he's the quote unquote talent, as he calls himself at those. And
yeah, everyone else calls me that now too. Oh, I've actually gotten to the point now where like people recognize.
Okay.
So we actually made something a thing.
No,
we're
letting him think he made something a thing.
I don't know if either of you guys are doing it, but there's one. He's actually based out of St. Louis, but one voice actor that I did at O Comic Con that's going to be at Colorado Springs Comic Con, that's Mark Dodson. He's also a super cool dude. He is the voice of Salacious Crumb from the Star Wars movies and all the Gremlins.
So he is not doing one as a voice actor, but I will be moderating the Star Wars panel with him, Daniel Logan, Boba Fett, and General Grievous. So all three of them will be on that Star Wars panel. So he will be on one of the panels that, yes, the Project Nerd team is hosting.
Yeah, he's Mogwai and all the Gremlins, as well as he's done a lot of cool voices, and he's a really fun guy to talk to.
Yeah, Gremlins, super exciting.
Also, just his story of how he became involved with Star Wars and Gremlins is also pretty fun. So get him to talk about that.
I'll have to keep that in mind. But obviously, this weekend. If you're listening to this episode in the first weekend it airs, I always try to clarify this. August, is it 24th through 26th, I think?
Dude, you're so fired. Yes, it's the 24th.
Okay, thank you. 26th. That's why you guys are here. August 24th through 26th, Chapel Hills Convention Center, Colorado Springs Comic Con. You Brazil listeners, Bob gave you the address. We hope to see you there. So it's going to be an exciting show. And Bob and I will be sharing a lot this weekend, so definitely on the lookout. But we don't want to spend the whole episode on it because we'll probably also talk more about it next week. And like I said, we'll have plenty of coverage. So let's jump in to what we normally jump into. And Bob, why don't you give us a rundown of this last weekend at the box office?
diversity is definitely big at the box office this week. Crazy Rich Asians was number one at the box office. For the weekend, it did $26.5 million. It opened actually last Wednesday, and it's up to about $35 million, which is really good for just a simple romantic comedy.
But yeah, before you go into the other ones, I was going to say the budget on it was $30
million. $30 million. So it's already recouped its budget. In second place, dropping down one, is The Meg, still doing strong, about 25 or 21 million. Its total gross is at 83, but I tell you, internationally, it's, I think it was 321 million.
Why? Why, people? $323 million is how much that movie is made.
It's already done about 120 million in China, which it was a co-op between American and Chinese studios. So it's going to do huge there. In third place, the new Mark Wahlberg film, Mile 22. Kind of disappointing. It only did about 13 million. It expected probably about 18 million. Fourth place, down to Mission Impossible Fallout. It's down to about 10 million. It's at 181 million, which is getting really close to the top grossing Mission Impossible film. And number five, is Alpha. Strange thing about Alpha, last year when you saw the preview, it looked like a very solemn, very big prehistoric movie. And then now when you see the preview about 2 weeks ago, it has a soundtrack that includes Imagine Dragons, and it's just a lighthearted movie about a boy and his prehistoric wolf dog.
I'm kind of shocked that it made the top five though to open, because it's opening weekend, right?
Yeah, it was opening weekend. I think about half the theaters were IMAX. It's only showing in IMAX for just a short time because starting this Friday, 2001 opens its 1 week run in IMAX theaters in 70 millimeter.
Okay, so we get a whole week for that. I'm feeling better about maybe not seeing it on Thursday night then. So down at number seven on the weekend box office, I saw Black Klansman was on that list. I didn't see it. I see it on the list. However, Adam did see it, and I'm pretty sure as soon as you walked out of the theater, you seemed to hit us up with it. Some high remarks from you.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I mean, I really enjoyed it. Adam Driver and John David Washington do a fantastic job. They are bang up together. It's, you know, it's not a buddy cop comedy by any means. Very, very serious topic. Takes place in Colorado Springs, where you guys are headed to.
Where Bob is also from.
Where Bob is from, right. Bob was potentially a tyke at this point in time in his life out there in the Springs. I'll tell you what, it was really good. I think after I left, I was like, this could do things for Spike Lee. Like, and then I went and I looked up Spike Lee. He's only been nominated for two things, which is surprising. Right. Yeah, exactly. Iggy had a shocked reaction, everybody. And
isn't Do the Right Thing his?
For best adapted or original screenplay. I can't remember which it was. But he had screenplay for that, and gosh, I don't even remember it. I mean, not directing. I don't think he's had a directing nomination. And so it'll be interesting to see what kind of happens with this movie, because I have the feeling that the Academy doesn't really like Spike Lee. I also have the
they gave him an honorary Oscar. I'm just saying, like, he's been nominated for real twice, but he's,
you can do that off screen and not worry about a speech happening in primetime.
No, they have to, the honorary ones they always give. It's a big deal.
Speech, yeah.
Yeah, he gave a big speech. It was I don't remember which, he got it not that long ago. It was like 2-3 years ago he got his honorary Oscar. But he got nominated for Do the Right Thing for Best Original Screenplay, and then got nominated for Four Little Girls, his documentary he made.
Oh yeah, that's what it was, documentary, right? So it'll be interesting to see what they do. Producing wise with Spike Lee on this one, you get Jordan Peele. So the Academy's favorite right now. I mean, he's got good things going on for him. So I'm really interested to see how this plays It still hasn't had a huge opening. I think it's 1,700 theaters this last week or 1,500 theaters, something like that. So they're still looking at pretty small in terms of the screens that it's actually on.
Yeah, I'm curious to see his take on it, because originally it was Jordan Peele was going to make the movie. It was Jordan Peele's right. thing. And then he stepped back to work on something else, and then Spike Lee took over. But I've read a lot of interesting reviews around it. Like it's very much a Spike Lee movie, his take on it, doing stuff like that.
You get a lot of shots of people's faces that are kind of hung in space while monologues or dialogues are happening over top of them. So it's a Spike Lee movie. You're going to know that it's a Spike Lee film for sure.
Well, I was familiar that Spike Lee had, like, a lot of things he directs. It's very, very clearly labeled as Spike Lee joint for the most part. So you usually know he directs it. And when you were saying he's one movie outside of the documentary that he's been nominated for, I was looking at the list and I'm like, because I'm thinking like 25th Hour, I really enjoy it. And it seems like a type of movie that the Oscar would typically go for. He Got Game definitely seems like a type of movie the Oscar would go for. Now, not necessarily an Oscar-going movie, but as I'm going through the list, I didn't realize he directed Inside Man. Like, that's probably one of my favorite movies from him, with Clive Owen and Denzel Washington and Jodie Foster. But and the other thing that caught my attention was the one-man show John Leguizamo did. So Spike Lee directed that as well. So some definitely credits.
He's directed quite a few interesting, like, documentaries and stand up. He's directed a lot of stand up specials for like Cat Williams, and he's done a lot of really interesting documentaries over the years that are really fun. But I think there's very much a difference between like a Spike Lee joint, something he writes and directs that has his very much take on it, versus you don't think about it, but he's done a lot of interesting, like what I would say, like studio movies where he didn't necessarily write it, but went and made it, like Inside Man, like he produced like his remake of Old Boy. I think a lot of people forget that was really interesting. Like, it's an interesting take on it. But he definitely has a lot of those things where he's directed, but not necessarily, you know, been the driving force behind it. I mean, you know when it's one of his like babies versus just him being a director. But I've heard that this is definitely one of his.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. I think the one movie, I just had to double check, that he didn't get nominated for, that honestly he probably should have, Malcolm X. I mean, that's probably the one film that I remember from him. But yeah, Do the Right Thing was back in the day, that was a game changer. And I know that when Black Klansman, it actually premiered at Cannes, I believe it got like... the Grand Prix, which is basically second place in the film category. So it is, you know, it is picking up some awards here already. So don't be surprised at the end of the year it comes up again.
Yeah, I could see that. And then again, kind of typical Spike Lee fashion that, you know, clearly makes it his, it ends strongly. I'll just put it that way. And there's, you know, I'd say it's illusion throughout the film, but it's not even that well. it's not even illusion. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, here, this is a thing, by the way, for 2018 about a story from the 70s. So just so you know.
Yeah. So another one of our favorite directors, Danny Boyle, who is probably best known for, I would say, Trainspotting and I don't know, many others, but award wise,
that little one that won an Oscar,
Slumdog Millionaire.
That one might be.
Yeah. I would say those are his
Sunshine, Billions.
I don't feel like Sunshine is very well known. Like, we love it, but I don't feel like it's crazy. That 28 Days Later, that's the one that dropped from my mind. He's probably very well known
for
Trainspotting at 28 Days Later, but more like, award more like critically acclaimed for Slumdog and 127 Hours Later. And yes, I know we are all very big fans of Sunshine, but it isn't like not one of his highly praised ones. But anyways,
it's none just of 127 hours. 127 Hours Later is some weird zombie.
Did I combine the two?
Yes, okay. Yes, you did. He made that movie.
I'm down to my last strike here. But anyway,
he made that one about God, what's his name? the businessman who made a company that was kind of, oh, Steve Jobs. Oh,
yeah, Jobs.
That was kind did he make Jobs? That's okay. Yeah, that's a good one. Anyways, just again, a long list of great movies that he's made. So he was attached, obviously, to James Bond 25, which has had a lot of rumors swirling lately, even to the point of, I mean, for a while, we've been told, you know, Daniel Craig's not coming back. And then it's like, Daniel Craig's coming back. He wants to come back. They're gonna try to, you know, and then all of a sudden here recently, we've heard about Idris Elba possibly even being cast as Bond and everything. And everything's being tossed up. Now, all of a sudden, he's exiting. Danny Boyle, who was attached to direct it, is exiting due to creative differences with the studio is what's being said. So, interesting to see here. I don't know. We'll see. Daniel Craig, who is actually still a part of the project, was one of the ones who made the announcement that he's leaving. So I think it makes it a little bit more difficult to introduce Idris Elba if Daniel Craig's that much involved in the project, but I don't know. We've seen this many times before, creative differences obviously tearing away a director we were excited for being on a franchise leaving. I think recently we can even look at, Solo with Star Wars or Ant-Man with Edgar Wright there. But I feel like we're so early in this, and Bond has such a, like, Bond is Bond. Like, it's, you know, Bond isn't Danny Boyle. Bond is it whatever other director has taken it over in the past. Although Mendez has done a phenomenal job with it. But I'm not too worried about it, I guess is the way to put it.
I think the one thing you probably have to look at is who did the screenplay. I mean, if Danny Boyle did the screenplay for it, I mean, are they going to use what he did, or are they going to have to do rewrites? Well,
the article I'm seeing is that John Hodge, who co-wrote the Trainspotting movies with Boyle, was also on the screenplay, on the writing side. So, yeah, it's a great question.
Yeah, because that will definitely play a part. I mean, Ant-Man, they did use Edgar Wright's script, and I believe he did get an executive producer credit for it.
I think they used parts of his story. They 100% did not use his script. It was
so according to Deadline Hollywood here, yeah, it's the question is now, it's not immediately clear if producers will stick with the Hodge, as I mentioned, John Hodge's script version, or if they'll revert back to Neil Purvis and Robert Wade, who did pin the last four Craig movies. So I mean, if they fall back to the other guys, I'm not too disappointed, because the last four Bond movies have been pretty solid.
It seems like maybe, I mean, say what you will about Boyle, he does some varying films. So he shoots a lot of different styles and a lot of different paces and stuff like that. But there is a, you know, kind of a quality that goes through all of his films when you watch it and you're like, oh, Danny Boyle did this. Yeah. I can see that. It may not jump right out at you like Spike Lee does, but you can see that, yeah, that's a Danny Boyle film. I'm okay with that. And I'm wondering if that is if that was kind of the problem. We were a little too Danny Boyle, not enough James Bond.
I don't know, because I feel like Mendez brought a very different style in terms of the way it was filmed to the Bond franchise.
Well, I mean, but...
But the tone felt, tone felt right.
And Mendez was, I mean, the one that meant, I mean, I'll take issue with you saying we've had four solid ones. We've had...
I know
one great one, one really good one, one okay one, one not so great one.
What's your okay one? I know Quantum of Solace is going to be your not so great one.
Spectre.
Spectre's just okay?
Spectre is 100% just okay.
And what's okay? Okay.
The great one is Skyfall and Casino Royale. Skyfall is a very good one.
I felt
Skyfall, I feel like so much of Skyfall's success was Sam Mendes's ability to meld / like evoke classic Bond and new Bond together. Like, so much of what was really good in Skyfall was him paying homage to like the older stuff.
I just want to go watch Skyfall now.
It's so good. Skyfall also has one other thing going for it that no other James Bond movie ever had going for it, and that is, who should shoot this? I don't know. Have you guys ever heard of this Roger Deakins guy? I'm still upset. I'm still upset he didn't win cinematography that year, because that's Skyfall, for whether or not it's a good or a bad movie, is one of the most beautifully shot movies in years.
So as excited as you get about Deakins, you might be excited to know that the number one name to replace Boyle attached right now is Villanueva of Blade Runner 2049.
No. Ooh. Anything that takes him away from working on his Dune project is bullshit. Like, he's right. Busy right now.
Yes, he is working on Dune. Tyler, how awesome would it be if McLaughlin played Duke Leto?
Duke Leto? I mean, I would get real pumped about that.
Right? Real pumped. Laura and I were talking about the remake just this weekend, and she was like, is Kyle, well, she refers to him by the captain from How I Met Your Mother. She's like, is the captain in that one? I'm like, oh, I'm like, Kyle McLaughlin? She goes, yeah, that's the one. I'm like, no.
So it's funny.
I mean, maybe, but.
I was trying to explain it to, like, how excited I am to one of my other friends who's a big movie guy, but not has, he's seen Dune, but he's not, like, never read the book or anything like that. But he is easily the biggest, what's the word I'm looking for? The biggest David Lynch fan I've ever met, especially Twin Peaks. Like, some of their wedding photos, like, evoke scenes from Twin Peaks of, like, them sitting in a diner booth and stuff like that. He loves. And he has, like, and I was actually at his house the other night for a birthday party, and he has, like, a full-size cutout of Kyle MacLachlan as
Special Agent Dale Cooper.
As Dale Cooper, and it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
I mean, I can't imagine if him not showing up in it, but.
Well, Villanueva, again, was the first name put out there, but like you guys said, he's attached to Dune. The other two names that I'm seeing, at least from Deadline Hollywood here, attached are David McKenzie or Jan Demange, and both of them just finished with their current projects, so they're both.
God, I like McKenzie a lot too. I mean, I haven't seen
Hell or High Water, which is the one
I'd love to see Villanueva.
Here's the thing. If I have to wait a little bit for my Dune movie, for Villanueva to make a Bond movie, like, I'm okay with that. Because Denny making a Bond movie would be so good. My only problem with him making a Bond movie is, even though it's Bond has very specific, you know, it has very specific scenery. Like, it's a story that hangs on very specific hooks. Like, here's a framework and then fit your story around it. I feel like he's treaded a lot of that ground already between Sicario and Blade Runner, but God,
it's going to be so moody. That's going to be such a moody flick.
So good.
Yeah. The Sicario movie is great, but I feel like he did a phenomenal job of capturing Ridley Scott in Blade Runner 2049. So
yeah, I don't know. I was so excited about a Danny Boyle. Like, you look back at some of Danny Boyle's, like, older work, especially like his one that really put him on the map, Shallow Graves, and you look at some of that early stuff he did, some of his new stuff. Like, I feel like his Bond would have been super good too.
Yeah, it would have been a really gritty kind of Bond, and kind of revert back to some of the earlier Sean Connery films. But I don't know. I'm kind of excited, a little bit more excited now that maybe Danny Boyle isn't on to the project. I just, you know, his style, his filming style is just a little, I just don't see it as Bond.
All right. Well, I think we'll see what's going to happen there soon. I'm sure Sony and them won't wait around too long before they get somebody else on the project, as obviously we've waited a while already for Bond 25. So
yeah, November 2019 is when it's supposed to be released.
Yeah, so they need to get moving. But let's head on over to the small screen, something I think we were all excited for. We brought it up briefly last week. Haven't talked too much about it, actually, surprisingly, but now it's here. And that's Disenchanted, dropped on Netflix this past weekend. I think only half of us caught some. Bob and Adam hadn't started it. Adam's holding out for fear that he's going to binge it all at once anyways.
Well, we had some other stuff going on this weekend. I went and got a tattoo. You guys saw it.
Very beautiful Star Wars tattoo. Oh my God,
it looks so good, you guys. Holy crap. Wait till you see it. Shit, where was I? Oh, yeah.
you were busy this weekend.
Right, we were busy this weekend. So we had a few other things we wanted to do. And so we had windows of, like, we got a couple hours. And it was like, okay, should we watch Disenchanted? Like, we want to see it. We love Futurama. We love The Simpsons. Like, yeah, we should watch Disenchanted. And it's like, shit, no, we got this thing coming up in a couple hours. I don't want to, like, we're very much of the mind that we're going to be fully bought in as soon as it starts. and so have to watch all of it right away. And we never had enough time to actually sit down and watch all of it right away. So,
well, my kids have just finished rewatching the entirety of Futurama, perfectly timed, wrapping that up. So I figured, yeah, we'll start it. If it's a little bit more inappropriate than that one, I'll just stop it and finish it myself. But for the most part, it stays kind of in that, in terms of appropriateness, on that same level as Futurama or The Simpsons. So we got through most of it. They enjoyed it. The problem, obviously, with my son, who is a 13-year-old boy, he's going to compare it to Futurama that he just finished. So it was never quite good enough for him, because it isn't Futurama, obviously. But I don't know. I've liked it. I've liked it. There's nothing, and I'm not to the last three episodes yet, which Tyler and I were talking about this earlier. Many people have warned us that be ready for those. But I've enjoyed it. It's different. I'm not like crazy about it yet, but I would definitely watch a second season at this point.
Yeah, it's definitely good enough for me to watch more. Like, I mean, it's the first. I mean, obviously, we got the last new Futurama aired on Comedy Central, what, like 5 years ago, 4 years ago? But the first episode of the Futurama aired almost 20 years ago, 19 years ago. So it's the first new graining thing in 20 years.
Let's think. We got to go back and think of, how did you feel halfway through Futurama season one?
Yeah.
Were you like, this is some of the best TV I've seen in a long time?
See, I might have been at a better age for that, though. See, yeah. I was like, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I appreciate Futurama better now than I did the first time I saw it, but it was still something so new at the time. Like, it would hit the wheelhouse. But, like, this is fantasy tropes and genres are my wheelhouse. I think it starts a little slow. It takes a minute to, like, find its footing. A lot of the background stuff, like some of the art in it, is phenomenal. Like the animation itself, the first few episodes is a little rough. It gets better as the series goes on, but like the background drawings and stuff, the background art is amazing. I think it lives and dies almost entirely off of its voice cast. Like, the voice acting keeps the bad parts from being worse than they are. I guess what I was going to say, like, they lift up some of the lesser material in it, but it's good. It's funny. It plays with a lot of interesting tropes. I think Bean's a fun character. I think they've made some character choices. Like, usually a show waits a little while before they'll, like, flanderize a character, but I think Elfo gets flanderized about halfway through the season, which was a little bit annoying, but I had a really good time, and the voice acting was super fun, and I'm going to watch more if they make more of them, yeah.
In typical fashion with those series he's done as well, I think the fun moments are just being observant enough to catch little things that are happening, you know, in the around the main thing,
yeah.
As well as lines that are being spoken. Just like a one quick one-liner, and they move on to
one-liners. And there's some scenes, some set pieces that are just sublime. Like, they're so good. There's a scene in season episode 3-4, if you get to it, the episode's called Princess of Darkness. And there is a scene where the three main characters do some drugs, and Bean goes on this monologue of basically the entire, like, birth, death, rebirth, reunion of a band. Like just this whole monologue of her on drugs. Like, we should make a band. Let's do it. We'll all stay together forever. And then their breakup, and then the solo act, and then the reunion. But it takes place over a course of maybe a minute and a half. And it's pretty so fantastic. Brilliant. It's so brilliant.
I get my solo career. Wait, nobody's cheering. I wasn't the talented one. Oh, you guys are back.
I mean, that, like, as little scenes like that are make it worth the price of admission. So
yeah, it's like I say, it's fun, and I'm interested to see, as Tyler pointed out, the reviewers that got it ahead of time got episodes 1-7, which is where I'm at, which have been good. But the people that I know who have finished it this past weekend were like 8 through 10. It wraps it up fantastic. It really sets the bar for a season 2 to go. So I'll finish it probably by time this airs, and hopefully I have more to say on it. So, but sticking with TV, over on Hulu, we've got some exciting news. Veronica Mars is coming back. I don't know. Did any of you guys watch Veronica Mars?
I did not.
I did. I never watched the movie. In the third season, I could kind of take or leave, but the first couple seasons of it are real, real good.
Yeah, I watched, I think, probably the first season of it.
All right, so It's been off the air. I didn't realize it's been this long, though. It's been off the air for 30 years, guys, is what it's saying. I don't feel like that's right.
No.
That can't
There's
be right.
It's no a- way. It's not that old. Veronica Mars. I mean, okay. it was airing when I was in high school.
So. Yeah.
Kristen Bell.
Okay, sorry. So there's a typo in this article because it says it, but it is 2000. They even right below their 30 years remark says 2004 to 2007. So I was going to be like. So yeah,
it's been off the air for 12 years.
12 years. So I don't know.
How do you get 30?
In the article I'm reading.
I know. I get that. I'm just saying, how do you get from.
Look, I've made a lot of mistakes this episode. But I've owned them. This one, wait,
no, it went off the air in 2007.
Yeah, so 2004 to 2007 is what I'm seeing here, and Hulu. I think with so many of the Netflix, Hulu's, all these are just they're bringing back a lot of older shows. The ones that I at least were interested in, I haven't been disappointed with the returns. Arrested Development, namely, is the one I can think of that's been good. I don't know, but this is a. I think, Tyler, the way I never really watched it, but being in the Project Nerd stuff and all this stuff going on for a while and talking to the geek community, it seems to be the consensus is that season 3 kind of ran out of steam and that's why they just wrapped it with the movie. So hope, I don't know. We'll see if it returns to form, at least season 1 and 2 form, which people are really fond of. I really don't know how I feel about Bell, Kristen Bell. It's like, I feel like I watch her in something and I love her. And then I watch her in something else and I'm like, I don't know if this was great.
That's dumb. You're dumb. She's delightful.
She's delightful. Yeah. But in terms of her acting performance, I just don't know if it,
I can think of multiple things off the top of my head that she's good in. Name something for me that you're like, nah, that's not very good.
Yeah. It's hard to do.
I have to look up what I just watched. Cause I just watched something with her that I was like, didn't feel like that was great.
She never really did.
It's not her fault. It's
probably the most delightful.
Why I didn't get into Veronica Mars.
Why didn't you get into Veronica Mars?
Because I wasn't a big fan of Kristen Bell.
Because no one knew who she was when Veronica Mars was on. That was like her break.
I understand that, but she is Veronica Mars of Veronica Mars. So she's clearly in that TV show, which means.
All right. So I watched the Netflix original movie, Like Father, here recently, and yeah. I was not blown away by her performance.
That's not her fault. Netflix original movies have, after like things of like Beast of No Nation and stuff, have taken a significant dive downward. Did you watch like Let's Set It Up? Like there's been some really not so great ones.
I haven't watched too many Netflix original movies lately.
It's not that they're not making good ones anymore, Tyler. It's that they're making a whole lot of bad ones.
Is that what it is?
Like quantity-wise, it's the same number of good ones. They just used to only make those movies.
Yeah.
They'll make anything. Anything, right.
They'll go and buy anything and slap their name on it. They'll go buy a movie already made. Oh, it's a Netflix original now because we paid for it.
Right.
But also Kristen Bell's. I mean, if Veronica Mars by itself and then throw in The Good Place, which is just amazing, and then sprinkle on some, I guess, Frozen and Forgetting Sarah Marshall. There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a bad list, and I've really enjoyed A Good Place for sure, and Forgetting Sarah Marshall is definitely great, and her character in it is well done as well.
She does well, but I mean, my love for that movie is purely for Jason Segel.
Just all Segel. There's some other fun people in that.
There's some other fun people in that, but I mean, you know, he sells it in the first scene.
He sells everything
in perfect.
He puts it all out there. That's a movie. He definitely puts it all out there.
Yeah.
So it's a fun one for sure. In other movie news. Adam, I don't know if you've seen this. I didn't want to bring it up too early, but I thought you might be excited for this. The trailer for the new horror movie from A24 has dropped, and it's called Slice, and it's a horror pizza movie.
And it is campy as hell.
As well it should be. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, I have no problem with campy horror movies. That's kind of, I mean, that's a sweet spot for them, and it has been for a really long time. My favorite horror movie is the original Nightmare on Elm Street. I saw it when I was 5 years old, thanks to my uncle, who was not that much older than I was, and let me watch it. And it terrified me for 12 years. But eventually I got over that, and it became my favorite movie. Now when I watch it, I thoroughly enjoy myself. And that's okay. Like, it's, you know, somewhere in the late 90s, we lost the ability to just have fun at a movie at the movies as well. Like, hey, this can be scary and funny, and that's okay. So I'm fully on board. I saw the announcement today as well, Iggy. I didn't watch, this is like a teaser or something along with it, right? Yeah. I haven't had a chance to watch that yet, but I just, cause I was, you know, me and trailers, I was already bought in. I'm like, this is a horror movie about pizza. Yep. That's happening.
Well, it definitely says it opens with bad pizza will bum anyone out, but there are worse things than being served a crappy pie, like ordering from a place built on top of the gateway to hell. So that, I mean,
yeah, no, that's intriguing.
I really enjoyed, I think something, and actually it got some acclaim and it kind of fell off the radar pretty quick. I really enjoyed Rubber. Rubber was a fun horror movie that was just like, this really doesn't work, but it's fun.
Right. You got Tucker and Dale, Cabin in the Woods. Oh, like, great. I'm on board with all of these.
Was Cabin in the Woods, did it have humor in it as well?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, Cabin in the Woods' whole shtick was kind of
it.
Was,
I don't really remember that movie. It wasn't that great. I know you.
Whoa,
you're fired. God.
Yeah, I remember he did. Jeez, that.
Like heats, man.
Crazy. That's for a,
you guys watched it at my place. Yeah, that's what Bob said. You guys don't remember watching it at, like, because Adam brought it over so excited for it, and I watched it and was kind of like,
You're saying good things right now.
Like, I wanted to wait till you guys got out of the house before I said anything bad about it, because I knew this would be the type of reaction. So you guys were over, we finished the movie, and I was like,
Four years, five years.
Yeah, I had to let it die down a little bit.
You're saying dumb things right now, and I don't know how to feel about
it. You always think I'm saying dumb things.
I'll say how about, like, I'm trying to think other cool, campy horror. How about Slither? How do you feel about Slither?
Oh, I love Slither. That is one of my
Bob, you were going to say something else. Bob,
no, I was just noticing. I'm really kind of anxious about seeing Slice because it stars Zazie Beetz.
Oh, I didn't see that part about it.
Yes.
That's interesting.
She is the lead, so I'm ready. I'm ready
of Atlanta and Deadpool 2 fame, obviously. Domino and Deadpool 2. Yeah, that should be fun. I mean, the cast doesn't look that terrible in it.
No, it looks good.
The teaser looks, I mean, interesting, I guess would be a word to put there. But we'll see. We'll see how it turns out.
But I do agree with Tyler. Slither is probably one of my favorite horror movies.
Yeah. Or I'm trying to think of other fun, campy horror movies.
How good is Nathan Fillion in that?
I'm not a big horror movie fan at all. So
you know, in a way,
how about the two American Werewolves?
First one, yes.
First one's
the second
good.
One's not that bad, but the first one's
not that good. The Paris one is fun though because it really leans into it.
But the first one is
obviously doesn't classic. Lean into it as much as the first one with every single song being about the moon.
Yeah,
fair. Fair.
I'm in the opinion that the original Scream was kind of a campy horror movie. I mean, it does have some of that humor and everything like that, and actually some of the other movies just kind of move on with that same kind of.
We're tight on time, but I'm gonna
say Craven knew what he was doing. I'm telling
you. I don't know. I feel like that was the like letdown of horror movie era right there with I Know What You Did Last Summer and Scream and all those ones. They're just terrible.
No.
That's why
it's way better than I Know What You Did Last Summer. It's definitely not horror.
Yeah, you can talk shit on I Know What You Did Last Summer or Wrong Turn or any of those like teen slashers, but like a whole point of Scream was that it was a send up of those things, like playing with the tropes. It's so well done. I'm not as big a fan of the Scream like series as a lot of people are, but that first one
is awesome.
Is an amazing movie.
I don't really care for it. But again,
when was the last time you watched it? Because I feel like this is like a movie you've seen, you saw it like 20 years ago when it came out.
Like at least once or twice.
I need one of you guys to remind me to kick Iggy next time I see him, please.
I'm saying a lot of dumb stuff right now.
Well, maybe you should come out to Tallgrass so you can. But anyway,
22 years ago,
we are getting short on time. So before we dive too deep into horror movies, which might be a good topic for one of our October podcasts,
obviously it's not because it's just going to be the three of us yelling at you for an hour.
Fair.
You and me yelling at Bob and Iggy because Bob every now and again starts to say something and then just thinks better of it.
Disney, some quick notes. Disney did just announce another Nightmare Before Christmas release, the sing-along edition. As all the crap we give Bob for all the different versions of movies he owns, don't be surprised if I do pick up, I think, my sixth or seventh version of A Nightmare Before Christmas. It's a fantastic one, but we'll probably be getting it for review anyway, so we'll check that out. Lego announced their newest Star Wars set. You guys ready? Star City, 2,800 pieces. Cloud City, sorry. Star Wars set, Cloud City, 2,800 pieces. I combined them in my notes here. That's why Star Wars Cloud City.
So if I started an Indiegogo for that, would you guys, like, can we share that on the podcast so people can donate money for me?
Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that, because I think you should apparently don't back our Kickstarters anymore. So have fun with that.
I think you could do that, and then you could record it on Twitch, putting it together.
J.J. Abrams just dropped the independent music label, announced it, Loud Robot. So he's going to back some indie artists to put out there on the music scene. Should be interesting. Not too much information about that.
I'm curious as to how he's going to incorporate lens flare into recording artists.
You can put it on the cover of the CD. People still buy CDs? I don't know. I do.
I don't know. Right.
Last time I was in Chicago with Gallo, or no, it was when we were in Omaha because I was driving around and I mentioned my CD case. And Gallo goes, "You still have a CD case in here?" He's like, "How old are you?" He's like, "Earlier you're complaining about the kids at your condo pool, and now you're talking about having a CD case." I was like, "Listen, I'm in my prime." And then last bit of quick notes here, Outlaw King trailer. I haven't seen it.
It's really interesting. Does anyone know anything about it?
Which one is
Outlaw King? So it's a movie, sort of historically accurate, sort of not. It's Chris Pine stars as Robert De Bruce, and it's all about the rise of Robert De Bruce. But basically, like, it's very interesting because a lot of people have strong feelings about it. I mean, he is a, you know, Scottish hero. He's a big deal. He was the King of Scotland, but almost anything that anyone not from Scotland knows about Robert the Bruce is he was that dickhead in Braveheart, which is one of the least historically accurate movies of all time. So everyone's like, so does this happen after Braveheart? Well, sort of, except for Braveheart smashed into one movie, things that happened over like 30 years. So not really, and whatever, but it looks, I mean, it's a hardcore period piece with Chris Pine playing a medieval king. It looks interesting.
Question, is Chris Pine tall enough to play a medieval king?
It was the Middle Ages, Adam. They were all like 5'2". He's probably towers like over them by like a foot. But speaking of, I mean, we were talking about immediately, it's directed by David McKenzie, who has done, you know, Hell or High Water. This was his other movie that he just wrapped up.
Yep. So with that, just one quick reminder before we head into final thoughts. Colorado Springs Comic Con this weekend, August 24th through 26th. Project Nerd Team will be in the gaming area set up with our full booth to where you can come hang out with us and record some audio for it. We'll also have the celebrities swinging by the booths as part of our agreement with the show. And of course, like we said, we're moderating panels. We'll be all over the floor getting floor galleries, doing interviews, doing all the fun stuff we typically do. So when you see us roaming around with those blue Project Nerd shirts on, whether it be Bob, myself, or one of the six others of us out there, definitely say hi all the way from Brazil. We'll keep going with that Brazil joke there. But Bob, why don't you get us started for some final thoughts here?
The big video release this week is Deadpool 2, and I had got two copies of it. I got the Target version, too, yes, and the Steelbook. I tell you, the Target version is really cool. Comes with, there are four discs in here. It has the two DVDs, two 4K discs. One disc is the original version. One disc is the extended version. And then it also comes with a children's book, Deadpool, Not Suitable for Children, storybook. And basically it's the Deadpool movie done with some really nice drawings of characters in there. So it's kind of cool.
I like it.
And then the steelbook has a removable sleeve. It's plastic. It's clear. Really nice of the Deadpool drawing that they use in the credits. And again, that also has four discs. And hey,
I know Adam and I are laughing right now. I don't know if my favorite thing is that Bob's showing the audio listening.
I'm showing you,
but,
Bob.
But you're showing it us, and it's not even making it in front of the camera, Bob.
I know. You're
excited about it.
But anyways, it's
I want to hold this. I want to see the steelbook. Hold the steelbook up higher. We saw the children's book, but we didn't really.
Here's the steelbook. It has the plastic cover.
I like the graffiti.
Yeah.
Like, Deadpool 2 thing going there.
And then on the inside, like I said, it has four discs, and the drawing is inside. It has Deadpool pushing
So you have eight. You have eight discs of Deadpool 2.
Eight discs.
And a did like.
And the two digital copies.
Digitally, right? And but you already owned it digitally.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you buy the digital copy ahead as well?
You bet I did.
Bob's a trooper. Bob is the reason we will have home video in 10 years. It's because of people like him that keep that industry alive. So exactly. I appreciate it, Bob.
Physical copies.
People like me can wait till Black Friday to buy all of these for like hardly
anything. Or wait for Bob to give you the digital copy.
That too. I'll still buy the physical copy because I still like physical media. But if it was just people like me, this would have long be dead because they'd be like, everybody's just waiting until Black Friday. We're not doing it. But we all should give a shout out to Bob for keeping this industry alive. I appreciate definitely. It.
And also, if you get a copy of it at Walmart, it has a little Funko Deadpool as Bob Ross keychain.
Oh,
that's kind of cool. So there's some good extras out there.
All right, Adam, what you got for us on final thoughts?
My final thought is I'm going to call it a final question. So I'm intrigued by the Nintendo Switch. I think anybody who knows me knows I play a lot of video games, and so the idea of a console that you can pick up and take with you and play with you while you're out and come home and set it back up and play it on your big TV and everything like that intrigues me a lot. The question I have is Zelda good enough to justify buying the console? Because that would be the number one thing I wanted for.
And then, Tyler can probably answer that question for you.
I know that he can, and I'm pretty sure I know his answer. I want other people's answers.
His look, when you asked that question, the look he gave the camera already answered the question.
Yes. And I know Tyler bought it to play Zelda. I'm aware of this. And I know that now you get Smash Brothers and you get Mario Kart 8 and Mario, and you get all the Mario games. I get all that, and I'm okay with that. And I'm intrigued by those as well. But every announcement I see about a new game coming out from not Nintendo Entertainment is a game that's not only like last generation, but it had multiple releases last generation. It's old last generation.
Like, yeah, but so now you get it portable.
Do I really need Saints Row the Third portable? Like, I don't think
do
I
really
do.
Like, not portable is the question.
Right. I mean, that was Sony and Xbox have given it away. Like, it was a Games with Gold and a PlayStation Plus game. So, all of the announcements I see from non-studios or non-Nintendo are old games or like Fortnite, which you can play on your phone. So I can already get that portable if I really wanted it.
So a few things. One is it's 100% buying if only two games you get are Mario Odyssey and Zelda. They are two really, really good games.
I know.
But just those two alone. Number two, I would say, like, if you're talking AAA titles, yeah, like the selection is a little bit low, but I think you discount the number of really amazing like indie titles, like games that are mostly on PC and mobile that made it to the Switch that are super good, like Celeste and Dorada and a lot of those kind of games. Number three, there are a lot of other, the first party games are really fun. Like, there's some really, really good ones. And number four, I mean, I feel like Saints Row was a bad choice. Like, it's probably unhealthy, but can you imagine, like, literally anywhere you are at any given time in the world, you could be on the toilet, you could be on the bus, you could be at work instead of working, and you could be playing either Skyrim or Diablo 3 handheld. That's cool.
I'm with you. Like,
I don't think you are, because you're asking for reasons to buy it. I've given you some really good ones, and you keep going, maybe you just don't want to switch. Just say you don't want to switch. It's fine. It's cool. You're not. I mean, you are a lesser man for it, but it's fine. Whatever.
Maybe it's not that I want to switch. It's that I want a switch, and I'm not feeling it.
Listen, I will continue to enjoy my Switch whether or not you buy one or not.
I will have one as of 2 weeks from now. By me, I mean my kids are getting one for their birthdays, but I will have that so at my place. But all right. So if you're listening, I guess our question of the week, we'll call it. Should Adam buy a Switch? Not should you get a Switch, not do you like your Switch. Should Adam buy a Switch?
Well, if you like your Switch, I want to hear that too. Like, well,
But then they should say Adam should get one. They should click this button over here. Yeah. That I don't know.
Anyways, we gonna have buttons? That's fun.
I could try to figure that out. I'm sure there's a WordPress plugin. All right, Tyler, what you got for us?
I'm still pretty deep down the WoW rabbit hole. So that's kind of all I've done with my free time. I've also been super busy at work. I have a big meeting tomorrow, but mostly WoW. Although I did dig into this Lego Cloud City a little bit. It's kind of a mess. Like, it's only 350, but it's just like they've stuck a bunch of rooms that were scenes from the movie together. So you've got like the walkway, you've got the carbonite chamber, you've got the dining room. You do have a miniaturized slave one that's kind of cool, but I feel like it's worth buying only because you get 18 minifigs with it, including two different Hans, two different Leias, an IG-88, a Boba Fett, a Lando, and a Vader, both with capes. Like, the minifigs are worth the price of admission, I think, because there's some really cool minifigs there. I don't know if there's ever been an IG-88 minifig.
Tyler, I got another friend who's telling me that I need to get on WoW.
It's pretty good. This image is pretty good.
That's probably happening before a Switch.
I'm saying
I'm being honest.
We need to get on that IG-88 minifig. But all right, one last time. If you want, you can check it out. I'm not plugging it as much, but we do have that Idols Kickstarter going on over there. If you're generous enough to give us like $4,000, that would be great. Put us back on track here. Otherwise, like I've said in the past couple episodes, stay tuned for some more big announcements after Colorado Springs Comic Con from Project Nerd, as well as some great coverage of Colorado Springs Comic Con. So with that, for episode 164, we will see you next week. In the meantime, come join Bob and I at the Chapel Hills Mall food court.